Now, our scripture today is from Luke, and is Scout reading it for us today?
I sure am.
Oh, thank you, Scout. Wonderful.
He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial,' he said to them. Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' If he answers within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything,' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least of his persistence, he will get up and get him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. Every door will be open. If there's anyone amongst you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give you a scorpion? If you are then, who are evil, who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to ask them?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Scout. And I like your car. Is there anybody here this morning that you can remember a random old phone number? There may be a few of us. Back in the day, you know, now we don't have to remember many phone numbers anymore. We just, you know, kind of push the button or tell Siri to dial it for us. But, you know, I can tell you one of the old phone numbers. One of them was my home phone number, 667-5809. And the other one was my grandma who lived up the hill, 667-5568. We would call Grandma once a day at least, and I don't know how she ever put up with it. We love calling Grandma because she would just sit there and listen as while we would just go on and on for a good long while, just about anything. Now, this was the day, of course, before mobile phones and even she didn't even have a cordless phone. She had to sit there with the cord on her sofa and listen to us talk all this time about intently. She listened patiently to our concerns, to our dreams, to our joys, for as long as we wanted to chat. What a gift. You know, I don't know if you ever had anybody like that you could just call up, or even now, they'll just talk and there's just no time, you know, anything like that. What a gift that is, especially today when we're hurried and rushed and everything like that. Well, this got me to thinking about prayer and our scripture today. And really about how we talked about all throughout Bible school this week about how God is with us wherever we go. A God who listens to us for as long as we want, for about whatever we want. But God gives us not what we want, but what we need. Prayer is an important part of discerning, about learning about God's will for our lives. And I want to talk but a moment about it this morning. So we meet up, thank you to Scout for reading our scripture today. We meet up where Jesus was praying at a certain place. In Luke, you see, Jesus has prayed so much that they don't really even care anymore where he's at. He's just prayed so much. And one of the disciples who saw him pray so much asked him, could you teach us how to pray just like John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, the one who prophesied about Jesus to come, like John taught his disciples? Jesus was glad to do it, and he gave us the model to pray, and we call it the Lord's Prayer, which we just prayed. I want to look in just at each little line just very briefly about just really the relevance of the Lord's Prayer. I think the Lord's Prayer is really almost a recipe, really almost a guideline for us how to pray. And if you can't think of what to pray, or you don't know what to pray, or you don't really have the words for it, or you're not in the mood, I'd encourage you to pray the Lord's Prayer, because it really encapsulates everything that we need to know and everything that we need to pray about. In verse 2, Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father.'" Now, I'll stop right there, because saying "Our Father," that was pretty revolutionary in Jesus' teaching. You know, back in the Old Testament, they surely prayed and they talked to God, but it was always as if God was some far-off, distant thing in the heavens. But the word that Jesus used for Father, it was in Greek. And some of you probably know this. It was a Greek word called Abba. Abba is almost like saying daddy. It's affectionate. It's a very personal way of addressing God. And this was brand new for Jesus to teach this. Jesus was teaching that God is as close to a loving parent, and God is very personal like that. Jesus wants us to know that we have a loving parent who's very close to us, who knows our needs almost before we even ask, and really cares for us in the way that a lot of us may see a dad or a mom or a grandmother or an aunt and uncle care for their child. It's very personal. Jesus said that when we come to God, we're to say, "Hallowed be your name." Now, hallowed is not a word that we use very often these days, except for maybe Halloween, All Saints Day, when we hallow or we honor the saints who've gone before us. That's how that holiday started. But to be hallowed means praised or honored, to be revered. And so the first thing that Jesus did when he prayed to this very personal Father God is he offered praises. He didn't start with a list of things that he wanted. Do this, I need this, can you do this, and Aunt needs this, all of this. He started with a praise to God. And so I always try, even on the worst of days, I always try to offer a praise or a thanksgiving to God. It really kind of reorients my mind. It helps me to think of the good things that's going on in my life. And it really sets me in a good frame of mind to begin talking to God. I always strive to do that because it helps me remember that I trust in a God who is good and loving and caring like an earthly parent. Jesus prays that God's kingdom will come on earth. Now, there's another version of the prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and it adds on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus teaches us to pray that the kingdom of heaven will come on earth. And sure enough, God does it through our faith, but also we believe as the church that God will use each one of us and the church together to bring his kingdom on earth through our actions and through our words. In verse 3, Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Bread then, as well as it is today, was a staple. And so when we pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread," even if you are gluten intolerant, what you're praying for is that God will meet all of our basic needs, not our wants, but all of our basic needs. God knows our needs. God knows our needs, and God will provide them, not necessarily what we want. That's the thing. Jesus says, "Forgive us our sins." We Protestants, a lot of us say our trespasses, "as we forgive those who trespass against us." Forgiveness is something that is always available to us through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And yet when we pray to forgive us, we know God is forgiving us. But I think when we pray, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us, I think it's a good way for us to remember that we're called to forgive others. And that's the hardest thing to do. And also, I cannot talk about forgiveness without talking about forgiveness of ourselves. I think that is probably in my ministry and visiting with people in the church, that's probably one of the things that we struggle the most with, about forgiving ourselves. God has already forgiven you. Now it's time to work on that journey of forgiving yourself. So think of that next time that you pray. And then it says, Jesus concludes, "Do not bring us to the time of trial." Some versions, and we say, "Lead us not into temptation." Gosh, I always struggled with that phrase, "lead us not into temptation." Because whenever I would say that, I would think, why would God ever lead us into temptation? And why would we have to pray that God would not do that? Well, I think it's just a matter of sentence structure. A lot of times, some churches encourage people when they say the prayer, to say, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God will never lead us into temptation, but we're asking God to lead us, never into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Does that make sense? And so a lot of times people will pray, "Lead us, but not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God will always lead us on the right paths. And that praying that is our prayer of trust that God will always lead us. So the Lord's Prayer is a real model, I believe, for how to pray. It includes praise, petition, asking. It includes forgiveness that God offers us, that we offer others, and that we hopefully can offer ourselves. And it's about reconciliation and bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's prayer. That's our faith in a nutshell. So like I said, next time you don't know what to pray, or you don't really have the words to pray, or you're just not in the mood, say that Lord's Prayer. If you don't have it memorized, I encourage you to do so, or look, pull it up on your phone and pray it. It includes basically everything. It's your one-stop shopping for prayer. Jesus calls us to come to God with an open heart. Really, one of the words could be translated shamelessly. Come to God openly, boldly, and trust that God will give us all that we want, all that we need, but not what we want. Jesus reiterates this in verses 9 through 13. He says, "Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened." Verse 10 even goes so far as to say, "Everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." And he promises that God, our Abba, Father, our personal daddy in heaven, will give us all that we ask for. Like a heavenly parent will give us when a child asks for something. You parents in our midst know, you often try to give your kids what they want, even if you know maybe it's not the best for them, but you know it'll just make them happy for a little while. Jesus says so much more with God, who desires to give us all that we need and all that will make us happy and fulfilled. Jesus says God hears and answers our prayers. Now, you may be thinking, what about all these unanswered prayers, Pastor? How do we deal with that? You know, there have been times, right, where you have asked and not received, right? Haven't there been times where you've searched and you've not found, where you knock and the door seems to slam in your face? Anybody have that in your life? I have. It may seem in those times that God is either not hearing our prayers, he's ignoring them, or isn't answering them. Well, I do think there are times that we pray for things that aren't God's will, and sure enough, these things won't happen, as hard as that is. I think there are also other times when we pray for something, but God's answer is either no or not yet. And sometimes I think we do ask for things that we don't really need. We think we need them, but they're really luxuries when you compare it to other parts of the world. I think there are times when we do that and God doesn't answer, or God says no. But the real test of our faith, isn't it, is when we pray something that we think God would surely want, a good Father God in heaven would want, and it doesn't happen. Like when someone that we love, we pray for someone that we love to beat cancer, or for justice to be served, or for us or someone that we love to get through a difficult circumstance, and it doesn't happen. I mean, these are the kinds of prayers, the times in our life, that unanswered prayers that can shake us to the core. Well, I don't want to give any impression that I've got God figured out this morning. But what I will say about unanswered prayers, I firmly believe that God is not the only power at work in this world. God is the most powerful in this world. But there is another force at work in the world that's pulling away from God's plan, and that's sin and evil. And oftentimes that's been manifest in others and sometimes ourselves. Satan and his demons, the power of hell and earth in the form of human sin, are working in our world. They're working against God and even in our own lives. Although God won the battle against Satan when Jesus rose from the dead, there is still a battle going on. And you can read about it in Revelation that artfully talks about this good versus evil. And that God ultimately desires to answer our prayers to live fulfilled and happy lives. But often evil and sin in the world and in our own lives gets in the way. It pulls away from that direction. It's an obstacle of God's plan in the world. For example, there is enough food in this world to go around to feed everyone. In America, there's enough resources for everyone to have shelter and basic health care. But sin and greed often gets in the way. I guess what I'm trying to say is that when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are trusting that God will break through these boundaries that our world has created. But we're also reminding ourselves, and we're trusting, that God has given each one of us and the church the gifts, the words, the patience, the skills to bring about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. You know, there have been so many times when I have prayed that God will do something for me. And sometimes God answers those prayers very directly from God. And at other times, I firmly believe God answers our prayers by saying, "Why don't you do it in return? Do it for me," Jesus says, God says. So I think part about bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven is not only trusting that God will work and break through the barriers of this world and evil, but God is also calling each one of us to act, be his hands and feet and mind in the world. Jesus calls us to be bold and shameless in our prayers, to persistently ask that God will give us what we need, but not what we want. And we can trust that God will hear all of our prayers. God knows our needs before we even ask, the scripture says. God sometimes answers with immediate yeses, sometimes with no's or not now's. Sometimes God's prayers are an instant, and sometimes, darn it, they take decades. Sometimes God's answers, yes, but God's will is thwarted by evil and sin in the world and sometimes in our own lives. And sometimes God's prayers are answered by a wonderful, powerful miracle, like we talked about in VBS with lightning, clouds, and all of that. But many times, in my experience, God answers prayers through ordinary folk, like you and I, doing God's work and goodwill in this world, in our community, and in our homes. So I just want to thank you for all the good that you are doing, for your faith in Jesus and the prayers, and your persistent faith when it seems as if that prayer is distant away. And then I also just want to thank you and this church here at Broadway United Methodist Church for, well, all the ways that you are God's hands and feet and mind in this world. Because that world, this world, as we know, is a crazy place. It's full of evil and greed. But God made it perfect once. And God, even though sin entered the world, God desires for each one of us to be his hands and feet and mind in this world, so that truly the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven. We Christians firmly believe that one day Jesus will come. But until that day, God really calls us to be his hands and feet and mind to serve him in the world. Well, like verse 13 says, we can do just as if we can do good things to each other. How much more can the Heavenly Father, Abba, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, that's a guarantee. So as we pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us. And through God's will and through the works of others, we see the kingdom of God come on earth just like it is in heaven. So come, Holy Spirit, let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have given us the model of prayer. Help us to remember that you hear us and that you know our needs and that you want to give them to us. Lord, help us in this world that is full of evil and greed. Help us to be your hands and feet, that your kingdom will come to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.